It's recording, guys. All right. Hello. Welcome to another episode of Psych Mike. Today we have three amazing people with us today. My name's Arati, and I was on the Freud podcast.
My name's Falak. I was on the Org Psych podcast.
And I'm Kawima. This is my first podcast.
Yeah, hey. Kawima's a new member to our edgy team on Ripa, so listen to her properly, guys. She's going to be the only normal one here. Okay, so today we're talking about psychologists we hate. I did want to include Freud, but we already included Freud. So please go back and listen to that podcast because I think it was one of our best podcasts to date. Agree with me, Falak.
Facts. I resonated with a lot of Freud's thoughts and ideologies. I'm just kidding. I'm joking. Joking, guys. Joking,
I will be recording that and putting that on a TikTok.
Jokes, guys. Jokes. Don't cut it. Don't cut it. Add the context.
Do not add the context, Lynn. All right. So today we'll be talking about a couple of other psychologists. On the list today, we have Harry Harlow. You have Alfred Adler. Yeah. And I am talking about Stanley Milgram today. These are all very common and known names. So let's get right into it, Kawima.
So I actually didn't know about Harry Harlow. And
so why did you choose him?
I don't know. He's on... I was like, ooh, interesting. And you name.
Yeah.
You name. So,
So it was Jack Harlow or something.
You're so right for that. Wait, what's the song that Jack he just Harlow. Released? I ain't got no something.
We'll play it right now.
It'll be our
intro.
Copyright.
Intro into the podcast.
Yeah, so I think he's most well known for like his nature of love experiment, where like he isolated baby monkeys from their mothers to like... And gave the baby monkeys, like, surrogate mothers to try and see, like...
Animal cruelty who?
So he basically wanted to see how the monkeys with the surrogate mothers behave compared to, like, those without the surrogate mothers, like, the normal mothers. And basically found that, like, those with the surrogate mothers didn't develop properly. So I guess the whole controversy there is, like, you're not meant to separate... You know, a child from their mother kind of thing. But he saw them as like non-human animals, basically.
I mean, if we're talking about it from a biological point of view.
I mean, yeah.
Like, see, I'm doing neuroscience on the mind at the moment. And the entire time we're like non-primates, non-human primates, right? I get it from, but like still animal cruelty. Also with a human, I don't think you're meant to separate kids from their moms in like the first like, I don't know. 3 months, 6 months.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, otherwise, like, you know, skin to skin contact, those sort of things are super
like the
important.
Kangaroo care
kind of thing.
All right.
Continue.
he also had, like, a pit of despair, which is, like, a step up from, like, the previous experiment. So he, like, isolate the monkeys, but put them in a vertical chamber, totally isolated from other monkeys. And they develop like depression, similar to like children who like lack care in orphanages. So that was pretty intense.
Pit of despair sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it, Falak? Sounds like your life for real.
Whoa, this is crazy.
Speak closer to the mic, Falak.
No, that's insane. That's insane. I want everyone to know this is the type of behavior that I have going on around me.
Where did that come from?
This is my plea of help. Get help, please save me. Someone, please save me from this injustice. I need help. Help.
Okay, one thing I did find that not many people knew was that he actually surgically altered the monkeys' brains and like try to see their change in behavior, which is, I don't know why that's not well known.
That sounds really bad.
There used to be this field of psychology where it was in humans. It was like the shape of the brain. Like the deformities in the brain from like traumas and things like that, like physical damage, they would like in the area that brain damage would happen, like the shape of the brain, if it was like weird in that specific area, they would like associate it with certain personality traits or like things like that were missing in the person. So it might have been something like that where it was trying to take out areas, and, you know, things like that. Like kind of what we do with TMS, but like more spastic.
Yeah, it's definitely more invasive.
What did he actually, I'm going to ask a nerdy question. Okay. What were kind of like the conclusions or anything from his research?
That's the thing, because a lot of people say that it was actually unnecessary to do it. Like he did reach the conclusion that like he did generalize his findings to humans. Like if you separate the baby from the mother, they are going to have like, you know, not the development isn't going to be the same as like if you're with the mother, but it was also an overestimate when it was generalized to humans. So in a way, it was really unnecessary to conduct all these extreme experiments.
Ain't nobody gonna replicate that. Yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, because like I'm doing the neuroscience and the mind subject. Very much recommend for a third year subject. Yes. Shut up, Falak.
What?
No. Anyways, yeah. So what we're doing right now is like we're looking at the difference between non-human primate brains. So we're looking like at a species of monkeys and a human brain. They're so different in shape and everything. So it's like once again, it's such a big overgeneralization. Mm. Like our brains have more wrinkles, bro. They're bigger. And these ones are like smooth as hell. So, yeah. Harry Holler, boo. Goodbye. Sad face.
Rejected.
Cancelled.
All right. I think I will hand it over to Falak right now to talk about Alfred Adler.
Cool. So, I want to talk about Alfred Adler. A bit of background. So, those three main psychologists were like the most popular and well known. You have Freud, you have Carl Jung. But you also have Alfred Adler. He's the least known of those three, but he started to become more popular, his Adlerian School of Psychology, because of a famous book that came out. It's nonfiction. It's called The Courage to be Disliked. And it's essentially, just a bit of background, it's based on this narrative, this dialogue between a philosopher and a student. And the philosopher is teaching the student all these different life wisdoms and things like that, and it's all based on the Adlerian School of Psychology. So that book is based on the notes that Alfred Adler made during his time. Fun fact, he was also actually a part of Freud's psychoanalytical circle, but eventually like dropped off from there and started his own thing for like maybe certain reasons that we talked about in the last podcast.
No wonder he's kind of crazy, right? Same group.
Bit of a tough start. But interestingly, the reason I picked this person is because there's one statement that he makes which is very controversial, but the vast majority of Adlerian psychology actually seems pretty all right. It's very interesting, but he has one statement which we'll go into a bit later, which I think is controversial for most people. And that's a bit of a spoiler, that trauma does not exist.
I was going to say something. I took the mic away from Falak to say something, but I think I would swear if I did. So let's not.
So there's two directions we can go with this. Either I can like steelman him a little bit and talk about some of the good things that he talked about that do make sense, or we could just jump straight into like bad stuff.
We're here to be haters. Okay. We're here to diss people. Okay. We are not here to be positive.
All right, well, if someone does want to go into their school of the School of Psychology, Adlerian one, later on, feel free to. Good book to read. But we'll jump straight into one of his biggest statements, which is that trauma doesn't exist. And he essentially said that, paraphrasing one of the like excerpts from his book, which was that no experience is a cause of our success or failure. We don't suffer from so-called trauma, but instead we make out of them whatever suits our purposes. We are not determined by our experiences, but the meaning we give to them is self-determining. So essentially what he's saying is that people, they use trauma as an excuse where they can't do X, like it could be any activity, they can't do X because Y trauma happened to them. That's like his way of thinking of trauma. And what he says, essentially, we should reframe that into a way of thinking where trauma does not have control over you and therefore you are free to do whatever you want. I think what's controversial about this statement is that it neglects like the biological aspect of trauma. Like, there's a lot of good books which talk about that. For example, there's one which is called The Boy Who Was Raised as a Dog. It's based on this author. He's really famous. He did another book with Oprah Winfrey, and he used to be a child psychiatrist. And that entire book, it's very sad. I'm going to give a warning there. Like, I cried in the first 10 pages. Pretty emotionally intense. It's a very good book to read if you're interested in child psychology. It basically goes through all these examples of children who went through cults and like all these other negative examples, but who came out of it and like kind of what was their journey. The traumas that happened to them as a child, how that developed them, but also a message of hope of how they changed back into what we would consider healthy, like functioning, healthy symptoms, things like that, away from those negative symptoms. It's also the book, The Body Remembers. So it talks about like our physiological reactions to trauma and trauma-related exposure. And I think that's something that Alfred Adler doesn't consider, or at the very least, the way that his teaching is marketed, that trauma doesn't exist, that blanket statement, that's very controversial. Yeah. So, interesting guy. There's a lot to look into his stuff, but that statement specifically is something I think most people can resonate with when they say we hate it. Yeah.
Because, like, if we put this in, like, time context, this is the same thing we did with Freud, right? At that time, everything was toxic masculinity. It still is. It's still pretty bad. But it's like, you know, if you act a certain way, it's because you're crazy. You're deranged. It's not because, oh, there might be an underlying factor. And it's kind of, you know, considering he came from Freud's group that tried to look for underlying meanings to every behavior, it's kind of whack that he doesn't consider trauma to be something.
Yeah. He's interesting because, you know, in psychology, we think of like the biopsychosocial model of well-being. And it's interesting because I feel like Freud was too far into just the psychological, psychoanalytical school. I think Alfred Adler broke away from that. A lot of his teachings are around the social aspect. So, for example, one of his like keys to happiness is community feeling. And the way you achieve that is like accepting yourself, having confidence in others, and also making contributions to others, treating people horizontally as the same and not vertically. There's some like really exaggerated statements in his notes around that. Like, for example, he like blankly like just trusts everybody and says that everyone should do that. Like, if someone asks you for 10 grand, you give them 10 grand, darn, like that type of thing. Which is a bit iffy. Like, I wouldn't give Arati any money, to be honest. I don't trust her like that. So.
I wouldn't give you any money either. What the hell? Crazy. Bruh. Crazy. Crazy. All right.
Anyway, no shade thrown.
Falak just said no shade thrown for the people that cannot listen to him because he's not speaking into his mic properly.
So that being said, he does consider the social aspect. He's broken away from the extreme psychological aspect of the biopsychosocial model that Freud had, but he doesn't consider that biological aspect of trauma. And I think that's where his school of psychology kind of breaks down. Yeah, that's my interpretation of him.
All right, so let's talk about Stanley Milgram. This guy was an American psychologist, and he was...
Why?
I don't like his last name.
I kind of like
Speak
it.
Be close to say that one more time.
I don't like his last name. I don't like his name in general. I don't know why, but I just don't like... Yeah, I'm sorry. Anyone named Milgram, I'm sorry. I just want to put that out there.
Is it because it's like similar to like the store, like Milligram or?
No, I like.
Guys,
I was getting roasted before and now I'm just getting physically abused. This is crazy. This is crazy. Crazy. I don't know what I did to deserve this. It's crazy. Anyway, what's his name again? Milgram.
Yeah.
Sorry, my bad. Yeah, I don't know why. I just like. I get bored. Okay, it sounds like a character out of Harry Potter. And like, I don't like that name because it sounds like a Harry Potter character's name.
So you don't like Harry Potter?
No, I don't like Harry Potter.
No, that's controversial.
I mean, it's less controversial nowadays because J.K. Rowling's...
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We have a neutral stance on Harry Potter in this household. We might like the stories, but we do not like the creator and the creator's intentions.
Talking about this as a household, I'm getting physically abused and emotionally abused. Someone please help ASAP.
Domestic violence.
There's nothing domestic about this. We're in a university.
You said household, so I was like, oh.
But like, household's so metaphorical, you feel? Yeah. Guys, do not report me to the police. I think I already got a speeding ticket. I do not need another fine. yeah.
You got a speeding ticket in the West Side as well?
Yeah, it was actually on the way to like Bandura. It was on the Western Ring Road. Guys, be careful of the cameras there. Okay, now we're like completely off topic. Anyways, we're talking about Stanley Milgram today. This was an American psychologist, and he was known for his obedience tests and other controversial experiments. So very controversially, he was inspired by the Holocaust, dun, 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 and other experiments by war criminals during the Holocaust. So some of us learned about Milgram's behavioral study of obedience. I think it was MBB2, I think.
I don't remember anything from MBB 1, 2, or any of the level 2 subjects. I am like a blank slate every time the semester starts again.
I don't think Falak remembers what he ate for breakfast.
That being said, guys, I'm definitely a H1 student.
Guys, go to Falak for tutoring services. I think he'll actually help you. Anyways... So in Milgram's study of obedience, participants were fooled to think as though they were going to participate in a memory or learning experiment, and they were assigned the role of a teacher as soon as they stepped into the room. Like, imagine how confrontational that is. You come in expecting, oh, they're just going to show me, like, colors and shapes, and now I am a teacher, you know? The teacher is then given the power to electrocute a learner. Learner, quotation marks, yeah? So the teachers, quotation marks, are told to teach using operant conditioning, I would say, by administering shocks to the learners. Once the shock level gets to a certain stage, the learner, which I forgot to preface before, is an actor. The learner is an actor, okay? And as unethical as this experiment already kind of sounds, we'll give Milgram a little leeway here because he actually chose actors and he didn't actually electrocute people, right? Anyways, the learner starts writhing around and screaming in pain and tells the teacher to stop torturing them because they didn't get the answer right or something. I don't know. I didn't find a really clear synopsis of this experiment. And then the teacher is given the opportunity to administer a shock that could produce excruciating pain or even death, or they could let them free, right? Let them survive for a little bit more. Surprisingly, a majority, 65%, continue to administer electric shocks, which, if we're real, could have actually led to death. And this is crazy because the teachers didn't know the learners were actors, right? So they thought it was fine for this person to suffer in pain. Like, how unethical and deranged is that? Like, imagine being the participant. You came in to do a memory. So you came in to do a memory test, right? And then you were told that you need to give people, like, electric shocks. And you decided, 65% of these people decided that they were okay to kill someone. What are your opinions on this?
I'm going to give a slightly controversial opinion. Because as you were describing this study, I actually remember it. And I, from like when we were learning it, yeah. I don't remember what subject. And I remember when I was in that like lecture theater and they're going through the study. I low-key was like, this is kind of interesting. I like this one. This one's like, I was going to fall asleep during that lecture. And then they brought this up and I was like, I'm back in.
Guys, Holak reads Murakami for fun.
Whoa. For context. Don't agree with the views, but a great writing style. Anyway, keep going.
Guys, I think Holak would be one of the 65% that would actually administer the electric shocks that kill people.
I might be one of the actors for fun.
I'm joking. Repeat that.
I'm going to get canceled here. It's crazy.
Repeat that.
Crazy. Well, you know, if you're like into acting, it could be kind of fun. Could be interesting, you know. Little extracurricular activity.
But like knowing that someone would willingly kill you with electric shocks, how would you feel, Kawima?
I don't know. I'm just appalled by his form of extracurricular.
Right. Like imagine your extracurricular is acting like you're in pain and writhing around and in shock.
Some people might be into that. I'm just like, okay.
Guys, relax into that.
Not me.
You said it would be fun.
No, I'm just being, you know, I'm empathetic. I'm trying to think from like other people's opinions, you know, empathetically, you know. Anyway.
He's such an empath, guys. This is why he's a psych major, not a finance bro. See, I'm sticking up for you for once.
I appreciate it.
Okay, cool. Thanks. All right. Yeah, so I don't know if I'm hating on Milgram for coming up with something so sick or the participants for being so deranged at the moment. Like the other side of this, you know, the perspective of this that a lot of people are writing about is like, did the participants even pick up on how unrealistic the situation is? Like, do you think they did it because, like, I know that I'm not actually shocking these people. Like, that's so unrealistic. Like, why would I be told to shock people and get a free death sentence, right? Because this is in America. You could be killed for this, right? Especially, like, back in that time. But, yeah, do you think they might have picked up on that?
Oh, well, I...
Be closer.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Something else kind of popped into like I'm gonna like skip over your questions to come back to it. But like I have like another question which kind of came up as you were talking. And I was thinking, what about like 10 years from now or like 50 years from now, like whatever the date is, we go back in time and we look at like the studies that are being done now. What would we consider like as unethical as like the ones we're talking about? Like maybe something related to AI or like things related to what we're doing with genetics. Like I was kind of thinking like 50 years from now. Maybe there'll be a group of people. Maybe Mupo will still be here, you know? And they'll be doing another podcast, looking back on us. And be like, damn, these experiments are just as bad. Is there anything like that we're doing today, you think?
Yeah. Oh, like, you know the one by, what's the Tesla guy? No.
Elon Musk.
The X guy. Yeah, wasn't he the one that did we did this in biopsych, the chip in the brain, the Neuralink. So you'll learn about this in biopsych. Mm-hmm. Kawima has not done, but she's currently doing biopsych, that's why. But we'll explain it. You'll be ahead of the game.
Oh, nice. Thank you.
Yeah. You'll have to do a debate on this, by the way.
Oh.
Yeah, a group debate. It's disgusting. So basically, it's like a chip that gets planted in your brain if you've been in a coma and you can't like move your limbs and stuff and you can't speak. It connects to like a computer interface and it like communicates for you, and it's been proved to like, I think they're starting human trials this year. Yeah. And I remember in the debate, like I was forced to be on the side of Neuralink. Mm. It is a good initiative, but who knows if it's developed enough to be used on humans. It's been used on primates before, and apparently like the monkeys played a game using it, like from with their brain. Like, so they kind of just like moved it. It's like, you know when you want to get the remote, but it's too far from you and you kind of like telepathically look at it, but it actually works. It's kind of cool, but I think it's another, it's still an invasive implant. Yeah. That's why like in a lot of like neuro experiments and stuff, we use epilepsy patients because they already have a chip in their brain to monitor and count the amount of seizures they're having, right? And if that chip is implanted in the right area that we want to measure, like if it's in the temporal lobe and we want to pick up how they process faces and things like that, because that's where face processing happens, we use them in the experiment. Like we can administer tiny shocks or we can just pick up signals. It's like, is this how the brain's working? That already makes sense because it's a necessity. It's already there in their brain. But you're implanting this.
Yeah.
For, yeah. I get it though. I get it.
See, like ethically, I agree with what you just said. That being said, the example you gave about the telephone remote, honestly, it made me want to invest. I can't lie. I'd sign up as a participant.
How much would you be willing to get paid for that?
You know, honestly, if I can just like use the remote without having to reach for it, I'll do it for free. That's value add right there.
Falak is currently open to opening his brain up to people. if you'd like to sign up to do so, be part of the surgery, please let me know. Alrighty Nair, Instagram at alrighty NAIIR underscore. Let me know. Let me know. Send me a DM. I'll hook you up. Okay.
Crazy. 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 But yeah, no, in all honesty, I think like stuff like that, a lot from the neuroscience side and like technology, like a lot of the neuroscience and technology things that are coming out, how like we're kind of creating like the hybrid humans, you know, of like technology interfaces that are now mixing with like our own biology. Those almost always have to start with like animal experiments. Like that's what like every company does. And it is unethical. Like, we're going to look, at any point in time, you'll look back at that and you'll say, yeah, that was, like, unethical for the animals for sure. But it's a weird debate because, like, then in the future, if that helps, like, prevent ailments and things like that, is that not morally right? Like, it's kind of, it's a weird thing. It's a trade-off, right? So I think it's, I don't know. Depends how you look at it, really.
Yeah. What do you think, Kalima?
I don't know, I was having the same thoughts as Falak because I was like, in the future, if it's helpful, you're going to look back and think, oh, it's unethical, but it's helping now, so...
Yeah.
You know, what can we do about it now? Okay.
But, like, would it be possible to create, like, an artificial brain that works so well as a normal brain, right? So you could do all your experiments on that instead of an actual human, but then it would be, like, oh, an artificial brain doesn't work the same way as a human brain because, like, consciousness and shit, like, what... Because, like, we don't know where consciousness comes from. Yeah. Like, psychologically or, like, scientifically, it's, like, the brain creates consciousness. But to, like, a lot of people that are on shrooms. You get what I mean? You get what I mean? Oh, guys, the psychedelics ball. Amoeba psychedelics ball. It is coming up. What's the date for it? Check it right now. Tickets come out on Monday. Get your early bird tickets. They're cheaper. Yeah. We will tell you what the dates are at the... I think Kalima's getting it up for me.
Yeah.
Thanks, Kalima. You legend. I think it's in mid-sem break, guys. Everyone that listens to this podcast, all eight people, have to get tickets.
It's on the 30th of April. Is that mid-sem?
30th of April?
Yeah.
Oh, guys, it's on 30th of April. I better see you all there. Falak said that something would go crazy, but he isn't speaking into a mic again, so. Anyways, I had a little bit more to speak about Milgram, but basically when everyone told him, like, you're kind of insane for doing this, he's kind of like, I don't care.
That's gangster. I respect that.
Say that again.
I don't respect him, but anyway.
Falak respects his response, which, I mean, I guess you need to, like, justify your own experiment. Yeah. But also that is kind of hardcore. It's like, yeah, I don't care. Like, you have a problem with me? I don't care. Yeah. So he basically said he no longer sees himself as responsible for the other people's actions. He just kind of prompted them to do it. And it kind of says stuff about real human nature, but I don't know what the actual findings of this experiment is. You know, there's no like tagline at the bottom, like this experiment proved this. It's an obedience study, but what is being, I think, all free will, right?
I think if I remember correctly, one of the conclusions that came out of the study, or at least the interpretations, was that I think there was like there was a control condition where like one was giving low, like higher shocks, and it was kind of like social pressure. How much of a shock would you give based on the social pressure of the people around you? And it was basically that people do conform is one of the findings. Similar to that, linking it into Alfred Adler, like one of the things he talked about was like a lot of our issues come from social pressure. So he had this concept where everyone has their own life tasks, right? Where everyone has your own task, your own personality, your own, like, let's say, fate that you, you know, are meant to seek out and achieve. And we lose that self-task, your personal task, when other people's tasks intrude on yours. So you can think of that as like social pressures and things like that. And one of the takeaways he had was essentially that everyone has their own tasks. Other people will intrude on yours, but you need to have the courage to be disliked by others. So the title of the book, and that was essentially that being liked or disliked, that's someone else's responsibility. It's their life task. All you can do is just fulfill yours, which is to just be you. So a bit of a silver lining there from like a shitty study as the basis. But yeah.
But how many of us actually follow that? I'm sure everyone in this room cares about what other people think, right? Otherwise, I would be here in my pajamas. I kind of am, low-key. Like, this is not how I normally dress up, guys.
I have an idea. Well, this is just for, like, the move of people, I guess. Okay. But next time, we dress up in, like, full suits, full tuxedos, you know, the full scent, and we come and we do, like, a crazy-ass, like, you know, professional. Anyway, sorry. Podcast.
Will you pay for it?
No, I will not, because I'm selfish. I'm sorry.
See? He's worrying about his own thing. That's exactly what Adler said.
Oh my god.
Right? It all ties back down because he actually read the book. Guys, we didn't read the book, that's why. But this is your sign to be slightly selfish. Do not be a people pleaser. Working in this field, in the psychology field, I don't think anyone else would listen to this, but working in the psychology field means that you're probably already a people pleaser. You're probably already inclined to helping people. Right? Are you a psych major?
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Because, like, you know, we have Michelle. She's doing psych subjects, but she's, like, a physiology major. She's not going to listen to this. I will make Michelle listen to this because I mentioned her now. We name dropped her. Yeah. You're doing it because you want to help people. And that puts you towards being a people pleaser. So be selfish. Find your priorities.
Moral of the story? Don't be a clinical psychologist. Join finance. Join me. Get those finance bro vibes up. Join me in the business side. Let's go.
I just defended Falak for being a finance bro. I call him a finance bro every time I see him. Today I defended him and now he calls himself a finance bro. Guys, you want investments? You want to get rich? Diversify your assets.
Go to Falak.
Go to Falak. This is your man right here. Guys, join Mipa so you can get financial advice. You don't need psychology advice. Yeah. This is why you shouldn't have... Your life started going wrong when you met me in primary school.
That's a long time ago.
But we were never friends. I don't know. Were we really friends?
We didn't hang out much. Like, we didn't hang out. Why are people... Why are we telling you about this?
If anything gets picked up... We weren't friends. We were never in the same friend group.
Nah, that's true. It's actually interesting. I met, like, a lot of people who, like, I knew in high school, but I never talked to them. And now in uni, in the most random spots, I get a chance to say hi and talk to them. Like, today, I was on the bus with train. Do you remember Sia from high school?
Lucia Yang?
Sia. No, Sia. S-I-Y.
Oh, Shinoi?
Yeah, I think that's the one. Yeah, yeah.
Tanisha's friend?
Yeah. But, like, it's, like, people I, like, knew in high school but never talked to them. And in a random spot, I'll, like, just, like, be there, like, on the same train or something, and we'll talk. Or, like, I'm locked in, like, a podcast room with a certain person I never talked to before. And in high school, maybe I didn't want to talk to them. And low-key, maybe I didn't like them. But then I'm locked in the same room with them. And now, like, I like them. A cool person. That's a joke. I like them.
What made you think I used to like you in high school, huh?
Right, he's cool.
For me, it's kind of the opposite. Like, you know when you see people from high school? Oh, you're international. You know when you've seen people that you've met before and you kind of want to say hi to them, but they just kind of avoid eye contact and like go away.
You know what you do?
Falak's giving us advice. Give me a second.
I have a tip, right? So when you like encounter somebody who you think you know, and like you're looking in their direction, but like they're looking somewhere else, honestly, just wave at them and keep waving at them. Like keep like just like aggressively waving in their direction. Eventually, at a certain point in time, they'll think either you're a lunatic or they'll come and say hi to you. It's just how it works.
I think that's more of a reason for them not to say hi to me. But the way that Felix presenting this, right? He's got his like hands crossed. He's like he's delivering a TED talk. It's like he wants me to believe everything he says. You would be a good CEO. Yeah, finance bro. Yeah. Have you had anything like that happen to you before?
I don't know. I guess something similar is like, because when I come here, I meet people. And then after one hangout, I see them again. They don't want to even look at me.
Right? Like, what is your problem?
Like, did I offend you?
I thought we had a good conversation.
I think people are honestly just shy. Like, it's like some people just socially, like, it's not just being an introvert and extrovert. I think some people, if they encounter you for the first time, the second time they see you, if you're, like, kind of walking by each other type thing, a lot of people will know you're there, but they'll kind of just, like, act like they're distracted or act like they're going some other direction. I think it's just socially, like, they're a bit shy.
Yeah.
I think over time, I think you got to be in the same circle with the same people just multiple times in a row. Same class, same club, whatever. Like, build a bit of confidence. Like, I think the other person also, they'll be more willing to say hi. If they feel like they talk to you, you'll also recognize you. I think that's also a fear. Like, you don't want to say hi to somebody who you don't know as well, but you think that's them, and then they just ignore you. You know, that's kind of embarrassing, right?
So embarrassing.
Would never happen to someone like me. But.
Okay.
Yeah, guys, life advice.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Lots of takeaways from this. I should start my own school of psychology, by the way.
No one heard that. But anyways, I was going to say something that was actually kind of relevant. Guys, this is why Falek has three guys that are actually in love with him.
What?
Falek employs these like social psychology techniques. He manipulates them, asks them on coffee dates. Edu team knows what we're talking about. I can name three people that are rizzed up by Falek right now.
What?
Yeah.
Crazy, honestly.
He's saying it's crazy. But he's actually like a master manipulator. This is why he's in psychology. Guys, we're all manipulators. This is why we're in psychology. We try to manipulate people into thinking they're fine. Actually, that's what parents do. Should we talk about generational trauma? Adler would not like that.
Crazy.
I brought it back, guys.
I brought it back. Yeah, I like it.
Thank you. Okay, I think we're kind of done. Anyways, Falak said the best coffee spot on campus is, I know you think it's Castro's. I go to St. Ali's just because it's on my way from everything, but it's so expensive now. St. Ali's, this is a public service announcement. Please reduce your prices. I like your coffee. Just decrease the prices, bro. What do you think is the best coffee spot on campus? Yeah, please. Oh, I think Cart Crepes isn't. I don't think they haven't like renewed their sponsorship. Guys, get a Mover membership. You can get discounted prices. At like, I don't know what the new sponsors are this year, but you can get discounted prices at different places, which we will let you know once you get your membership. $5 per year. Continue. What do you think is the best coffee shop on campus?
I'm gonna say Castro's because if you have like membership. This is a different club though.
She will not be disclosing the name of the club. It's definitely Mupa, guys. It is definitely Mupa.
Yeah, if you join some clubs, you know, you get you get discounts at Castro's. So it's pretty worth it.
Damn. Anyways, I was signing off, but Falak distracted us. This was Psych Mike. My name's Arati.
My name's Falak. Don't cancel me.
My name's Kuima.
And we will definitely be canceling Falak after the show. Please look out on social media so you can find all the clips of us canceling Falak. All right. Bye.